From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Glad to have you, man. I am I'm enjoying today on this Wednesday, this midday, kind of midweek type of thing, and getting you ready for the weekend and getting you ready for then after that Monday Night Football. But you got the Badgers and the Michigan State Spartans coming up this weekend, and you got more baseball, some game fives coming up. We're entrenched in sports. You got the NFL kicking off again tomorrow night, so a lot of good stuff going on. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends and cousins. Speaking of Monday Night Football and the Green Bay Packers, you could be sitting on the 50-yard line, plush leather recliner, kicked back, relaxing, chilling, chillaxing, whatever it happens to be, for shizzle. You can do it. Compliments of our friends over at Cousins Subs. All you have to do is go to packers.com/best seats for the best seats in house promotion. All brought to you by our friends at Cousins Subs. Again, go to packers.com/best seats and see for yourself. Get registered. You can do it daily through December 8th. That's brought to you by our friends at Cousins. Cousins Subs, they do it better. They believe in better. And they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's bring in Paul Emig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So Paul, a couple of different things. First and foremost, I don't know specifically still what to make of this Packers team. I watched that game on Monday night with the 49ers. I don't know what to make of the 49ers, even though they're undefeated. So you tell me, how good do you believe this Green Bay Packers team really is?
Well, I think they are among a handful of teams in the NFC that, you never want to make too big of a judgment call 5 weeks in to say like, oh yeah, you know, here are the five teams or the four teams or the three teams that are the most likely to represent, you know, one of the conferences for the Super Bowl. I mean, just so much can change over the course of the next 11 weeks. But if the Packers aren't in somebody's top four NFC threats to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, I think they are either extremely biased against the Packers or they're watching a completely different team than what I am. I don't know how anybody could then say that Dallas should be above Green Bay. I think that became quite clear. Philadelphia, not quite the same record as Green Bay, but came into Lambeau and won. I think they're going to only continue to get better as Carson Wentz gets further and further removed from his injury and as that defense gets healthy and gets on the same page. San Francisco, Bill, I will tell you, at 3-0, I was skeptical. I said, nah, they didn't. It's kind of like how the Packers, you know, granted the score on Sunday in Dallas was closer than what it, I think, truly was because of the fourth quarter comeback that the Cowboys had. With the 49ers, they were significantly a better team than what Cleveland was on Monday. So I'm going to put San Francisco in there too, in terms of I think it'll be more difficult for them because so many of their key players haven't been there before, and I still think there's more to figure out. But I think they're a serious threat in the conference. But Bill, I mean, I think it's fair to say I've been a bit more optimistic on the Packers so far throughout the year, maybe than you have been, and going into the Dallas game and a couple other points this season. But you would have to agree, right? They are clearly, you know, if 100 football fans who are able to put their bias aside picked four teams for the NFC that they would, you know, wager would be one of the four to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, 99 out of 100 should, if not 100 out of 100, should be picking the Packers among their four teams if they were forced to do so. It would be in yours, right? And wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I would completely agree.
Top three?
Yeah. I think when I think of the Packers, and we said at the beginning of the season, top 12 defense, supportive offense, this team can go into the postseason deeply. I still don't know what to make of them, going back to my original question to you, of, okay, no Davante Adams, you didn't see anybody else emerge, but the game plan changed because they went to run and pass out of the backfield, and the tight ends were the top receivers along with the running backs rather than going to the wide receivers. So I don't know if it worked out to that way or if that was the scheme. I certainly saw a lot of different things that we had not seen before out of this type of offense. So I guess my cumulative effect is, does this team have the ability, like a chameleon, to morph? If you lose a Davante Adams, no big deal. We're going to go with a run game. We're going to go with the tight ends. If they get Davante Adams back and he's good, Marquez Valdes-Scantling's good, and we're going to go downfield and let Aaron Rodgers kind of go with the flow. I don't know where this team is at yet, and I think, again, I said the litmus test is going to be Dallas and Kansas City. Well, they beat Dallas, so I have to say it's a really good football team. I just don't know how good or what their ceiling is. You know what I mean?
Well, I think could the Packers get better still? I mean, they could continue to get better, but to have, you know, they haven't been perfect defensively. They certainly haven't been perfect offensively. They came around, obviously, in Dallas, but they started the season slowly offensively. I still think there's more ceiling to move aside and to clear for the Packers, but I think they've been playing at a fairly consistently high level. You know, they probably could have, should have beat Philadelphia, and even if that was to happen, you could be talking 5-0. Now, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, doesn't matter. They lost that game. But Philadelphia is another legit contender. It's not like Oakland came into Lambeau Field and won. If that was to happen, you know, 2 weeks from now, I would say, you know, really good teams don't lose that game. But, you know, I think you can, you know, again, even if the Packers have a remarkable 12-4 season, four losses got to come somewhere, you know, and that's just going to happen. If you end up going 6-2 or 7-1 at home and, you know, 5-3 or 6-2 on the road, I mean, you just had yourself a heck of a season. And the fact that they've already checked off at Chicago, win, at Dallas, win, kind of to one of your initial questions to me on Monday to, you know, to some of the more pessimistic Packers fans was, what else do you want? You know, like if you would have filled out your Packers schedule prediction back in April and you would have said at Chicago, win, you know, at Dallas, win. And by the way, you're going to take 2 out of 3 in a homestand against Philly, Minnesota, and Denver. I mean, you would have, if I would have made that prediction, Bill, back in April, I would have not felt very good about it. You know, like I would have, I don't know. But what I keep seeing is a team that is able to evolve. And like I did say to you the other day, I don't think it's sustainable to have 4 completed passes to wide receivers. You know, if Davante Adams misses another game, or let's say he comes back but then misses one in December to rest, or whatever the case would be, his turf toe, because the turf toe is likely going to linger. You can't complete 4 passes to wide receivers on a consistent basis and win. It can happen 1 or 2 times, and then once opposing defenses start to realize that and take that away, you're obviously less likely to still be able to come out on top. So I do think there's, you know, plenty of things there to figure out, because I don't think that is sustainable. But at this point, I don't know how you can look at the Packers and say, like, you know, I don't know if they're your number one NFC threat right now to represent the conference in the Super Bowl, number 2 or number 3. But if they're not in the top 4, like I said earlier, I don't know what team you're watching, because this is a very, much more so than the past, pretty much since 2010, a more complete team than what I've seen. And if anything, honestly, if anything worries me right now, Bill, it's their special teams. Not because of J.K. Scott, who's great, but they've had, what, 3 times this year already that Mason Crosby's had to make a tackle on kickoff, and that's never ideal because it means you're tackling him around the 40, 50-yard line.
Paul, offensively speaking, the offensive line still not rating really high. I was going back through Pro Football Focus's grading system, and even though you saw Aaron Jones have a big day, there was still some missed blocks, still some issues, holding penalties and such. Is the Achilles heel of this offense overall the offensive line?
Not from the offense. Do you have it up in front of you, Bill? I assume, I have not seen it in the past 2 weeks. I assume they have to have Bulaga and Bakhtiari ranked very highly. Do they? As individuals, at least?
Well,
or is it just the team grade that you're looking at?
I'm just looking at the team grade right now. You know, when it comes to the ability to run, they went up from 20th, but they're 18th.
Sure.
So they're still not high. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, 2 snaps.
Actually, I take
Sunday
that back. When it comes to run blocking, they're 24th.
Okay.
Running the football overall, they're 18th. But run blocking, they're 24th. When it comes to pass blocking, though, They have fallen off a little bit, but that's where they're 18th when it comes to pass blocking.
Okay. And they've always been built to pass block. I mean, for as great as Bakhtiari is, he should be a multi-time all-pro at this point in his career. He's been the best tackle in the league for the past 3 years. Ron Bulaga, yeah, he missed, a chunk of time in the game the other week, but when he's been out there, he's gone up against some of the best pass rushers in the league, including Von Miller and Khalil Mack. And Khalil Mack, I'm seeing as, if you rewind 5 years ago when a defensive player named J.J. Watt was in MVP contention with Houston, Khalil Mack I'm seeing mentioned in MVP contention very early, of course, but you have to be having a special year to be mentioned MVP when you're a defensive player. And these are some of the studs that Bulaga has gone up against. I thought he's held up well. And I think once they made the switch from Lane Taylor, who, of course, is on IR, to Elgton Jenkins, I think that has been a big step forward. And, and certainly I think Elgton Jenkins, between himself, Lindsley, and Billy Turner, Jenkins over the past couple of games has been the best interior blocker, to my eyes, at least, to my my test of what I'm seeing. I'm watching these games a second and third time as well. But I think Lindsley, Bill, since I had that contract extension a couple of Decembers ago, has probably plateaued a little bit. I kind of thought there would be maybe more there to become like the elite center in the NFL. I don't think that has happened. And I think Billy Turner so far has he's stabilized maybe the offensive line at right guard a little bit, because there have been times in the past couple of years where the Packers have tried to plug in, Jahri Evans or whomever else, and it's been pretty rough at times. But he's not been good. He certainly hasn't been worth $9 million. So I don't know. I don't feel great about the offensive line build. But again, for me, if I had to target my biggest concern on offense, it would just be that do they have enough wide receivers who can get open, especially if and when Adams is either hobbled or out entirely. So I get it. I get the offensive line concern, but it doesn't override perhaps a lack of pass catchers at the wide receiver position specifically.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again later in the week, okay?
And we might hit on this on Friday, but is it as much of a bummer to you and maybe to your listeners as it is to me that this is week 6 and it's going to be the third Sunday out of 6 without a Packers game on a Sunday?
Right? I know. It seems kind of weird. Although I will say this, it's been kind of nice to kind of relax on the weekends, no doubt. So
I love my Sunday football. I'll take Sunday at noon or Sunday at 3:30 in the week. But it does put you in, you're the only game on TV on Thursday and Monday, so that's
right.
Interesting. But, yep. All right, Billy. See you, buddy.
All right, Paul. Talk to you soon. Paul Emick, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they'll be getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Guess what is less than 10 days away? I just got a notification, and I just palmed the forehead. I'll tell you what it is. Coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I saw this come across my timeline on Facebook, and I thought, are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness. Tell you what it is coming up here in just a moment. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Quick Trip. Quick Trip, I've been telling you about Quick Trip for a long time. They have the Packers opening drive contest at Quick Trip, and that's a real deal, man. You get in on that, you're kind of good to go. Stop in and use your Quick Rewards card right now. You can pick up some Johnsonville brats. You can pick up baking potatoes. You can pick up Quickery buns. And you get entered when you use your Quick Rewards card. You can win game tickets and $25 for every yard picked up on the Packers opening drive, plus some bonus cash for a field goal or even a touchdown. Yeah, stop in and check it out. Today only, by the way, $1. $1 for cheeseburgers over there at Quick Trip. Thanks to Quick Trip for being a part of the program. We'll talk some Brewers, we'll talk some Packers and such coming up. But so I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I get a lot of emails over there. People chime in over on Facebook, they chime in over on Twitter. So I'm scrolling, and I saw something. I'm like, wait, what? 9 days, 17 hours, 34 minutes at mark. I'm not kidding. It opens up Toyland for Christmas. opens up at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. I about fell out of my chair. October 19th at 7 a.m. So in 9 days, 17 hours, 35 minutes, and some seconds, Toyland opens up. I am just, man, oh, man, oh, man. I'm not ready for this season. I'm not. We were just talking with Brian Baldinger a little bit earlier from our radio.com sports NFL insider. And he said the same thing. He's like, man, I can't even believe the football season. We're 4 or 5 weeks into this thing. I'm like, I'm with you. I'm with you. Here we go. Already into Christmas stuff. I mean, it's bad enough that the Halloween stuff was advertised at Easter. But you got Sweetest Day coming up. You've got Halloween coming up and Thanksgiving. But we're already into Toyland, man. I'm not ready. I can't do it. 855. Although I will say I don't mind some of the things that are coming out. It's not very much that you find actual brick and mortar stores anymore for the fact that everything's gone online. But I do have a couple of granddaughters that I buy for, but I'm just not ready for this. Just not at all. 855-830-8648. I want to go back to the topic we talked about in the beginning of the program today. And we discussed the Milwaukee Brewers a little bit. And we're kind of putting a bow on the season, I guess. That might be the best way to put it. We're just wrapping things up. And one of the questions that we had asked was, do you think the Brewers took a step forward, a step backward, or just kind of remain the same, for lack of a better term? So as we got into the discussion, a lot of people said they took a step forward, and some people are upset that I said they took a step back. Look, my argument to – now, you can have an opinion, and that's great. Okay, we can agree to disagree in certain ways. But when the team was on the cusp of going to the World Series and that was your expectation, I'm not going strictly by the results of the end of the season. What I base my opinion on, yes, they overcame adversity. Yes, they had a lot of guys go down this year. We went through that whole litany of guys that underperformed. We went through the whole litany of guys that ended up on the injured list. It was huge. It was a lot more than what we witnessed last year. But after going 8-2 to start the season, in which everybody was riding that high from last year, and everything just kind of continued over, and especially the way they won on opening day and coming from behind and getting the win, and you thought, okay, the magic is back. Here we go. And then they went 8-2 after the first 10, and you're thinking, they're running away with the division. You're now looking at the division winner, forgetting that it's a long baseball season, and then they fell back to earth. So going into September, they were eight games under 500 from that point on. So from going 8-2, they played under 500 baseball. They'd win three, they'd lose four. They'd win four, they'd lose four. And it went back and forth like that. So I guess I was basing my opinion on from April, the middle of April, all the way through the end of August, they were a sub-500 team. Now, injuries played a big part of that. I agree. But they were. I mean, that's the facts. And then they regrouped. Then came the cavalry. Then Craig Counsell did what Craig Counsell does. It's take the young talent that comes up, puts them in the best possible position to be successful, and that's exactly what they did. And they went on that run, and they made it to the postseason. The postseason became the giant Band-Aid for what was a disappointing season. Travis Shaw disappointing. Orlando Arcia disappointing. Keston Hira goes down with an injury. You had Lorenzo Cain banged up, and he had a disappointing offensive season. Jesus Aguilar, disappointing season. Yuli Chacin, disappointing season. So you go through all of that, and you go, Right? Pretty correct? So I feel that it was a step backwards. Not just because of the way the season ended, but because of what the expectation was, the season they had. And where they showed me something was the veteran ability to say, we still got this. Craig Counsell's ability to say, we can still piece them in and just play it one game at a time. Let's watch the Cubs falter. Let's just concentrate on our business and let's just go win ball games. We just keep winning. This is what it's going to take. Let's just get there. Okay. And they did that. And now Now you have a culture of expectation within the Milwaukee Brewers organization, something that you had not had there in a very, very, very long time. And that is a culture of expectation to win, to actually be a team that is considered in the postseason each and every year. No longer are you hoping to get to 500. No longer are you crossing your fingers that you just hope you're as good enough as the Cubs. No, you're a battler. You're one of the top teams in the Central, and you're a battler. You're expected to be in the postseason. Anything short of that is now a disappointment. So I love the culture change. I love the way they came back. I love the fact that Craig Counsell managed the way Craig Counsell managed again. You can't make every move perfect, but, you know, again, he showed that, you know, he's one of the better managers in baseball because of. And I love the fact that they took some chances. Those chances failed. They took some chances, and those chances paid off. But did they take a step forward, backward, or stay the same? I think they took a bit of a step backward. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, go ahead and do it. Did they take a step forward, backward, or did they just kind of remain the same? What's your opinion on this? Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I'm optimistic about the future and where we're headed. And maybe more than anything else, I think we as an organization and as a front office are energized to get back to work and to build the next contending Brewers team. And that's where our focus is right now.
Those are the words of David Stearns. Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. We are glad you are here as, you know, they're committed to winning. And as we had with Adam McAlvey a little bit earlier today, I thought that was an interesting conversation. Adam McAlvey, we got to talking about the shortstop position, Travis Shaw, first base, a lot of different things. And then Adam McAlvey dropped this might be the year they go in and splurge on a pitcher, on an arm, off season. And that got me, I'm not taking it as the Bible or gospel or anything, but that got me kind of looking over that fence a little bit. I did a piece for the network last night, and I said, you know, there's a lot of different things with this team that you have to look at, and those are all the things that we had mentioned. But one of the things that I think gets lost in the shuffle, we talk so much or hear so much about budgets. This is what our budget is. And one of the things the Brewers did right years and years and years ago was when they decided to say our budget, our business plan, will be based off of our baseball plan and not vice versa. See, when you start basing your baseball plan off of your marketing and off of your budget, you don't necessarily get outside the parameters that you need to do to win because you're basing it off a constraint from an accountant. When you start looking at it from a scout's perspective, well, then you start looking at things differently. You're not looking at it as an accountant anymore. You're looking at it as a scout. How do I get this team better? And let the accountants worry about the money later. Your baseball plan comes first. Your main product is not selling hot dogs and selling beer and putting people in the parking lots and, you know, selling jerseys and T-shirts. All of that comes if your baseball plan, if your team, the product on the field is better, everything else just falls into line. And I think a lot of times there are franchises that lose that sight. So that's why when Adam McAlvey had said that, I thought, okay, you know, nice. I'm kind of looking over the fence there, you know. Take the Bucks for example, okay? The Bucks get Giannis. They make some deals. They try to get better. They get to the Eastern Conference Finals coming into this season with a lot of hype and optimism. Now, they just unveiled a new Fear the Deer jersey, okay? The new alternative uniform, if you will. It's got the blue stripe in it with the green, the white, kind of the Cream City color. And it's got the new, you know, Milwaukee Bucks logo on it. You know, it's got the Harley logo on it, and it's made by Nike and everything. Okay, that's great. It's cool. I like it. I really do. But the bottom line is, you're not coming out with just jerseys and people aren't clamoring to buy jerseys just because they're jerseys. It's because your basketball team's pretty damn good and there's an excitement for it. You're going to sell a lot more jerseys if teams about your product on the field or on the court than it is about just go, you know, the ability to go shell out money at your pro shop. You know what I mean? So if the Brewers indeed invest in the team and continue to build the excitement and the offseason becomes fruitful and you see the ability to multiply in the regular season or at least going into spring training, again, things are going to be, optimism is going to be reigning supreme and off the charts. You know, and then you get some guys back, you get guys healthy. I mean, things begin to snowball. So I'm excited. I really am. I'm pretty fired up about all of this. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. Again, 855-830-8648. That's on the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag Admirals 50 talk line. So did the Brewers this past season take a step forward, take a step back, or just kind of stay the same? In my opinion, it went back a little bit. This one's from Jack. Jack says, how can you say they went back? This was a team that vaulted themselves into the postseason when they had no business being there. They showed the stamina to play an entire season. Again, I'm not knocking that. What I'm looking at, it, you're right. In September, they took a step forward. But the season from beginning to end, you can't just forget about the middle of April, the second week of April, through the last week of August. You can't just go, bah, don't worry about it. No, that was your season. You stayed close, you stayed close enough to be able to make the run in September and get yourself into the postseason. But you can't just forget about that. I'm just taking it as a whole. I think this, now, did they take a big step back? No. Of course not. I think in the form of veteran experience and the ability to actually play veteran baseball down the stretch, I think they took a step forward. On that particular slope, we'll agree. But I think, you know, you can't just look at the postseason and go, they made it, so therefore they're a really good team and they took a step forward. No. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Chime in. If you got a take, if you want to give us a shout. This one's from Anthony. Anthony writes in Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen. He said, this team took a huge step back. There was a lot of optimism. They should be in a World Series, and they're not. They're sitting at home right now. How can anybody say they took a step forward when they're not even playing right now in the postseason? This team has a long way to go. David Stearns better spend the damn money on some starting pitching and get a couple of other guys in the back end of the bullpen. Hater can't do it all. Look, you need one guy back there. Maybe you fill the bill with one guy, maybe two, but Josh Hader, he'll work on it. He'll bounce back, but I think he was just used in many different areas this year. I think you get everybody settled back there, you'd be good to go, but he was forced into that action because Corey Knebel went down. Drenz tweets me @Bill_Michaels and says, Bill, I completely agree. It wasn't for Chicago and St. Louis basically being garbage the whole year. We would have been out of it before September. I'm not going to say they were garbage because I kept saying it's going to take a run or two for somebody to get themselves in the postseason. And anytime you have any Major League Baseball team, doesn't matter who it is, okay? Any Major League Baseball team that ends up winning more than 90 games, that's what you're shooting for. The Cardinals won 91 games. I give them credit for it. Now, granted, it's not in comparison to like the Dodgers who won 106. The Braves won 97, but I will say this, though, and this you're right about, the St. Louis Cardinals winning 91 games, that was the fewest games won by any division winner in all of baseball, considering every team in the American League won more than 100 games. And even the teams that ended up in the wild card in the American League won no less than 96 games. Think about that. Think about that. The Tampa Bay Rays, the last team into the wild card, 96-66, 30 games over 500. Think about that. The Astros, 107 wins. The Oakland A's, they get into the postseason, 97-65. The Tampa Bay Rays, 96-66. They would have won this. They would have won the Central. They would have been the, put it this way, if they were in, say, the American or the National League East, they would have ended up coming in second to the Braves. They would have been the first wild card and make Washington the second wild card, and the Brewers would have never ended up in the postseason. Or if they would have been in the Central, they would have run away with the Central, and the Cardinals would have been the wild card, and the Brewers would have been on the outside looking in. But that's how good other teams were. But you win 90-plus games, you deserve to be there. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Dan in Winneconne. Dan, welcome to the program, man. What's happening?
Great talking to you, Bill. I got one question before I take it off the air. I think they played all right, but Keston Hira came up, and then he sent him down because they wanted Travis Shaw to perform, and he was gone for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kid in the lineup equal 3 more wins to win the Central Division? And I think it does. They'd be playing the Braves instead of playing the wild card.
Boy, that's a great question. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know. That's a great question. They wanted to bring Travis Shaw back up. He went down to the minors and started hitting the ball. Not great, but better. They thought that maybe he refound his stroke. He was a contributing factor to this team. He'd been a veteran to this team before, so they wanted to get him back up into the lineup and show confidence in him. There's something to be said for showing a veteran confidence and some loyalty. That way you don't have guys jumping ship on you the minute things go bad. So maybe that pays dividends down the road, but that's a great question. We talked about it at the time. You didn't want to see Keston Hira go back down. And Travis Shaw, when he did come back up, just struggled. Just it was such a disappointing year for Travis Shaw. And he just get away from baseball, go away, you know, recharge the batteries and then start to get back at it and try to get out of whatever bad habits you got into this year. It just looked at times like he was just guessing, just couldn't figure it out. And teams just had his number. So, but that's a great question. If they don't send Keston Hira back down, does he then power this team or help power this team to 2 or 3 more wins? And then things might have been different. That's a fantastic question. I don't know. Let's go to Conrad listening to us out in Madison. Conrad, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, I love this topic, and I'm glad this is where we're headed with this conversation, because that's been my gripe in the heart of the season. We were not putting up runs. Even when we were dealing with all the woes that was connected to pitching, and every national pundit is saying, why isn't the Brewers going after a pitcher? Council figured that out. He figured out how to deal with the pitching issue. What he couldn't figure out is how to get more runs on the board. And we had all the talent. I mean, I really want to bring back Yaz and Moose and all the things. I'm glad we ended up, you know, trading away Aguilar. And putting Thames in his spot. He really thrived in his spot. Figuring that Travis Shaw thing out really that hurt us greatly. And I'm wondering what we're going to do going forward. I would love to, you know, I know Kane had a down year. I think that kind of hurt us a little bit too. But that issue held us back. You know, you string together another 6-7 wins, You're taking over that Braves spot, and it's a different conversation. And St. Louis is making it in as a wild card, and I don't know if the outcome would be ultimately any different because we're still the same team. But that's the thing in the off season. I'm curious to see what they're going to do about figuring out more runs on the board for 2020, and. That's all I got, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, appreciate it. Appreciate it. He drops off. You get on board 855-830-8648, and that's going to be the next the step. I mean, as soon as the postseason's over, you start to get into the off season, and then taking the next step towards 2020 and how much this team kind of pushes those chips to the middle of the table. Remember, you've got Ryan Braun for another year. So if he gives you, God, he gave you 285 this year. He's outplaying that contract now. So for a couple of years, it wasn't good. But now they're managing his body. He's playing pretty well. He's still hitting the baseball, still being a contributor, still being a cog on this team. So, you got another year of him. You got another year of this outfield together. You kind of push your chips to the middle of the table and hope for the best. Hang in there. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. Final segment coming up after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers worked out over a dozen players and signed a tight end, Ethan Wolf. He's 6'6", 252 pounds, has spent time with the Titans, Panthers, and Jaguars, and he fills the last spot on the team's practice squad. The Packers will practice tomorrow as they get ready to host the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
We kind of kicked everything back a day, give our guys a little bit more rest. As you know, we've got some guys battling through some things, so I thought an extra day of rest could serve us well.
Safety Darnell Savage Jr. reportedly dealing with a high ankle sprain after Sunday's win in Dallas. With a win over Detroit, the Packers would secure the lead in their division. Packers safety Adrian Amos.
Man, I'm big on this the next game. You know what I'm saying? This next game is important because it's the next game. It's still early in the season and it's a long season. We go out there and beat them, we still have, you know, a lot more season to go.
The Lions are coming off their bye week, 2-1-1 after a tough loss in Kansas City. Head coach Matt Patricia.
You know, the one thing for us after the first four games or first 4 weeks, I'd say the, you know, the thing that we'll build on the most is really our process. Right now, I think we're kind of, you know, obviously in rhythm. We understand what the week looks like. We understand what the work is that has to go in week in, week out in order to prepare and get ready to go. And that's really important to us is that process.
That's Lions head coach Matt Patricia. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
There you have it, the hardest working man in football, Mike Clemens. Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show, we continue on. Sitting here talking a little bit off the air. The halftime show this year, you have, was it J-Lo? J-Lo's doing it this year, Joe? J-Lo and Shakira? That'll be a good one. I saw a lot of memes about if you're ever going to have a wardrobe malfunction, may it happen this year, which I think is pretty funny. I know that Rihanna just came out and said that, yeah, she was supporting the whole Colin. My whole question is this. She supports Colin Kaepernick, and that's the reason she declined to do the halftime show. She said, I'm not helping my people by doing that. Okay, I'm assuming she's talking people of color. Does that mean any person of color that's playing in the NFL is a sellout? Just asking. Then again, look, hey, I'm not a big Rihanna fan anyway. So I don't have to listen to Ella, the same word over and over. So to me, I'm like good with that. But, you know, I'm looking forward to this year. J-Lo, Shakira, that'll be a good one. I wonder who like they always have somebody show up, some kind of special surprise guest. I wonder who that's going to be. See what happens there. But looking forward to the halftime show this year. That'll be a good press conference. And that's in J-Lo's wheelhouse anyway, doesn't she? Lives in New York with A-Rod, but wasn't she in Miami for a long time? She was like pals with Gloria Estefan for a long time. They kind of ruled the roost down in Miami with Pitbull. So that'll be a good one. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. The Packers getting ready to take on the Detroit Lions coming up on Monday Night Football, and Paul Emig brought up a good question before, and that'll be something we explore later in the week, but not having football on Sundays, Packers football, I got to admit, I'm a little, I enjoy it because it gives me time to get stuff done, and it also really kind of squishes your week together, but It kind of sucks not having Packers football on a Sunday. Now, I don't get to stay home and watch Packers football on a Sunday anyway. I'm usually there. But when it comes to the Packers, I do enjoy those Sunday noon kickoffs, man. Packers coming into this contest, they are ranked 13th when it comes to points per game offensively. Detroit, 12th. Total offense, think about this for a minute. The total offense, the Packers rank 25th. In the league. The Lions? Do you have any idea where the Lions rank in total offense coming into this game, Joe, by any chance? By any stretch of the imagination?
I'd say total offense?
Total offense.
I'd say maybe 20th?
8th.
Ooh.
I know, right? It's like a number you read, you're like, that's not the Lions. That's not the Lions I know.
Yeah.
They're 13th best in rushing, and they have the 5th or 7th best passing offense in all of football.
Yeah, their passing offense is definitely better than the run game, and I don't think they've used Kerryon Johnson enough.
Yeah. Their third down offensive efficiency, they are 18th in the league. The Packers, 27th. Now, the Packers have been good in the red zone. They're tied for 5th, while the Lions are 18th. But, man, I couldn't believe that. I read that total offense. They're 8th? It's like, what? Defensively speaking, the Packers rank a lot higher. The Packers 8th overall points per game. The Detroit Lions rank 20th. Total defense, Packers rank 8th in scoring defense, 22nd in total defense. That's because they gave up a ton of yards. The Lions are 27th. Packers are 26th against the run, but 14th against the pass. And they're 11th overall in football on third down. So there you go. Couple of numbers getting you ready for the show tomorrow. We're going to talk about Aaron Jones tomorrow. Is Aaron Jones elite? Is he elite? Is he already on the elite board, or what does he have to do to become elite? We'll get into that discussion tomorrow. Also, we're going to talk with Will Thiemann, the voice of the Michigan State Spartans, as they come a-calling. Getting ready for that Bucky Spartans game coming up. There you go. Time for us to get out of here. Have a good one. See you.
Michael's Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.